Here's a little bit of audio of Vincent Cleary, the managing director of Glenisk, who was speaking to our news team on the 27th of September 2021, when many of you will recall their factory was up in flames out in Newtown Killy. Here's what Vincent had to say back then.
It's tough watching it go up in flames. 30, a life's work, you know, so a lot of people depending on us. So everything from employees to farmers to even the customers. So, but yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be back. That's a year ago, as I say, this day last week. We'll be back were the words of Managing Director Vincent Cleary. And one has to ask, what is it that drives a company, a team, a family, and even a person to have that resilience, to want to resurrect that company again, rebuild, get back servicing their customers too? What's the driver behind all that? And I suppose, why would you go about doing it? Well, no better person to ask than Mr. Vincent Cleary himself. Vincent, a very good evening. What's it feel like when you hear yourself speaking from a year ago there now again?
Good evening, Ronan. I wasn't expecting that. Well done me, I guess, looking back. I kept it together. I could hear the emotion in my own voice there. And, since that dark day in September of last year, a few people have asked or sort of commented us on our, as you say, resilience and determination to get back on the hamster wheel, as I call it. I never saw an option to, quitting is not for us. And it wasn't so much that we're great guys or anything like that. It's just we had a lot of people dependent on us. I think I mentioned around that time as well that we have a collective WhatsApp group at work, and one of the girls suggested to me that, tell the staff not to come into work tomorrow, the day after the fire. I said, yeah, that makes sense. So I sent out a circular basically saying, everybody stay at home, you'll be paid, and I'll just call in a certain number of people so that we can start going through the ashes, as it were, and coming up with a plan B. And the next day, most of the staff showed up for work, and I said, God, I have to get these people busy, you know. So, like, letting go of the staff, letting go of the farmers, letting go of our customers was not an option for us. We needed to get back onto that hamster wheel.
Just remind listeners the extent of the damage and the impact it had on your business.
It was total. We were stopped in our tracks. We were fortunate enough that the small little old Tullamore Dairies building, as it was known, where we started all once upon a time bottling milk, was untouched by the fire. But even if our electricity supply and our services, our water and steam for sterilising units was all cut off, because that had been all housed in the Glenisk end of things. So it was daisy chained over. So, it was immediate and total. And in fact, after a few days when we formulated what I keep referring to as our plan B, I was sharing with our largest customer, which was the Musgrave Group, with their buyer, a good friend of mine. And I was telling him, saying, listen, don't worry. Yeah, we've had a dark day. We'll be back up and running by Christmas. Now, Christmas was 3 months away. Christmas came and went. We had Trojan employees working all during that time, who took little or no time off over the Christmas break. I think it was the 27th or 28th of January, we were back in production again.
It was phenomenal. And I think people will widely remember it being reported. And I say from my own perspective, I don't remember an incident like that with a company being covered to the extent it did in both local media, national media, and I'm sure even beyond as well. You've spoken about the goodwill of your staff, but that goodwill really poured in from your customers too, and then even from your competitors. Was that something you were completely taken aback by?
It was overwhelming. We were humbled. I mean, not only was it local support, it was national support and even international support. I never knew. Like, we got loads of mass cards, but I never knew there was a thing called a novena card. We got novena cards. You know, I got letters from the bishop or bishops. It's just all and sundry in Ireland. As I said, it really was humbling.
Take us through the rebuilding process, and I don't mean physically rebuilding it, just getting business operations back up running, getting back producing milk, even the admin side of it. Because how many employees had you at that stage?
We had 95.
Yeah, yes, and you still have...
We have the vast majority. We've lost a couple. People go and do other things and whatever.
So how do you get a business back up operating? And you started off trying to get, was it 4 products back on the shelves?
Yeah. It was a race. Our insurance providers, FBD, I can't thank them enough, basically. And they were saying to us, basically, guys, take it easy. I had a small health scare myself last year, and they were saying, you don't want to put yourself back in hospital. So take it easy, plan this correctly, and, when you're ready to go back into the market. And I said, well, that could be 18 months to 2 years before we're, if we were to replicate what we had lost. And I'm not quite sure how to put it into words, but it was a race against time, a self-imposed time. We're a branded company. I knew the day of the fire that if we didn't get back onto the shelves as quickly as possible, our brand would be forgotten. That's probably a bit of an exaggeration, but we needed to get back on the shelves. We needed to get back into our customers' hands and into their fridges, more importantly.
I think what you're saying, anybody in business would empathise with you, because somebody else may see it as an opportunity to, if there's a share of the market becoming suddenly available, irrespective of how it came about or the events, it could be there to be filled as well. But actually, you often spoke about how competitors actually got in touch and offered to contract manufacture or even offer equipment for you as well. Again, something which I think largely was... many people listening probably think was unheard of in business circles.
Yeah, we were a victim of our own success in many respects. We had become, it was a 35-year struggle, we had become the number one branded yogurt in Ireland and had been in that position for about 3 years. So, yes, some of our competitors in Ireland offered to help. And I said, listen, guys, you go off and make hay now, because we'll be off the shelves for a long period of time. So you enjoy that moment of glory. But when we're back, we'll be looking for our market share back. So I knew that they were going to be extremely busy. Companies, I know our yogurt companies in Ireland, smaller, had doubled, trebled in size literally overnight because we were off the shelves and customers were looking for an Irish alternative. So, and that was fair enough. And plus, we'd like to think that our products are pretty unique and it's difficult to replicate them elsewhere. So, 35 years of knowledge, was waiting to get back into production.
Had it an impact, obviously, on your export market then as well, or where is that at present?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to, fortunately, I can say last week we sent over our first shipment of yogurt to Germany again. Now, in fairness to the Germans, we had just started business in Germany just before the weeks before the fire. So we basically, tails between our legs, went to them and said, listen, sorry guys, we're after losing our factory. I think most of them were aware of it. Now, it wasn't making headlines across Europe, but those in the business were aware of it. And they said, take your time, get your house in order, and when you're ready, come back to us, come back to us. And that, again, humbled me as such.
Germany, of course, was I remember being on this show about 5 years ago. You mentioned Germany as being a key training ground for yourself. So it must be very proud, a proud moment for you to know that the German customers were backing you still, despite everything that had happened. If they just saw the images on the news as to the scale of the fire, you can understand why somebody might say, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah, I think 2 days ago, I was talking to a Chinese machine manufacturer and... they said, I see on your LinkedIn or Facebook or website that you're a yogurt manufacturer, big yogurt manufacturer. I said, well, I wouldn't say big, but I said, yeah, we had some misfortune last year. And I said, just Google Glenisk fire and then they see you immediately, So, yes, work gets around. But yeah, I lived my youth, as it were, my education was basically in Germany. I spent about 7 years in Germany back in the late 80s. And I know that ideas are born in the West Coast of America in the food industry, but I see Germany as my go-to place to see how the market is developing, how consumerism is growing and direction it's going in.
When it comes to, say, current levels of production, then on a percentage wise, can you say roughly where you are in comparison to the 26th of September last year?
Yeah, we're measuring it. We're at about 60% of where we were pre-fire. Needless to say, I'd like to be higher, but we're still waiting on bespoke pieces of equipment, machines. You know, our protein yogurt, we're hoping to have back on the shelves by Christmas. Christmas is always a significant time in my calendar anyway. So so Christmas, we're hoping to have, for the 1st of January, our protein yogurts, which were about 25% of our business before the fire. So we hope to get them back on the shelves then, and that should lift us up to 80%+.
That's significant and steady progress. So the actual physical site itself, what would people see when they pass now, and what's coming next in order to get you back up to that full capacity? Have you rebuilt at this stage?
No. We're still working out of what I would term as our Plan B factory, which was basically, we had received planning permission, fortunately, for two additional warehouses out the back. So we repurposed those two warehouses. So they have now become the new Glenys factory. We see this as an interim solution. There is still a cleared site in front of those two new shiny buildings where the actual original Glenys building was. But our plans would be, we're designing as I speak, talking to architects about building on a greenfield site, a big new state-of-the-art carbon neutral factory.
Obviously close to the existing factory or the old factory?
Yes, it would be closer to Tullamore, that makes sense on many levels, insofar as our workforce is predominantly from the town of Tullamore. I mean, during COVID, we ran out of car park spaces as, you know, people were self-isolating and basically driving themselves in single cars. So by moving our factory closer to the town, we can accommodate our personnel easier, I would think.
You mentioned carbon neutral because, you know, we only have to think back before the fire, we had to deal with Brexit, then we had COVID, then your factory goes up in flames. And as you begin to get your foothold back, 60% production again, all of a sudden we're hit with, you know, rising energy costs, inflation, the likes of which has never been seen before. Is this an opportunity to try to kind of offset some of that? Or indeed, what are Glenys doing at the minute to try to just reduce the impact? Because I'm sure, like any business, you're being hit with rising energy, electricity costs and everything else.
Yeah, well, I mean, I explained to my 14-year-old, life's lesson is you roll with the punches. So we're all facing headwinds. I mean, and we, having been 35 years in business, we've lived through many recessions. And, you know, we'll take some of the good things that we learned in the last recession and see, will they work again in this, you know, I don't want to talk us into recession. I think Ireland is quite resilient and circumstances have changed over where they were back in 2008 at the credit crunch. So, you know, they say no two recessions are alike. So we'll challenge, we'll needless to say, like everybody else, we'll work through the next recession. And yes, it gives us an opportunity to implement, you know, new technologies, new recipes, new products. So, you know, I guess in one respect, despite the fact we're hoping to build in probably one of the most expensive times to build a factory, but we're hoping to do it cleverly, if that's possible. And yes, as I say, come out of this whole episode a better company than, needless to say, how we went into it.
Well, I'm not sure the focus would certainly be on cost, and that can often help deliver that the exact factory that you need and you want at this point in time. Of course, I can't let you go without mentioning too, like the accolades that continue to come in for you as well. Recently just announced as one of the best managed companies for 2022 by Deloitte. A fantastic accolade to get.
Yes, I mean, I'm embarrassed by awards. We lost all of our awards in the fire, so we need a few awards to fill up the mantelpiece again.
Yeah, if anyone listening out there has older versions on eBay or maybe a copy of them, maybe you could send them on up to Vincent and the team as well. But Vincent, look, thanks so much for coming in. It is amazing. Even before you came in this evening, I just mentioned to some of the crew here that it was a year ago since the fire, and we're like, what? Couldn't have been that long. And to think that you're back at 60% production, and you've a line of sight on another 25% up, but that is a phenomenal achievement to yourself and indeed to the family and the whole team out there at Glenys. And long may it continue. All the
Thanks
very best.
Me.
Vincent Cleary, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Now, I told you I'd start off the show with an inspirational story for you there too, isn't it? It's hard to believe it's a year ago since that happened.